Good morning. What a blessing to be with you today to worship together as a church family. Thank you. I want to thank Roy for leading those songs for us this morning. I want to remind us that next Sunday night we will have a youth devotional at Ron and, that's awful. At Roy and Bonnie's house. Roy, you know I know your name because I just said it. Okay. All right. We're off to a good start this morning. In the spring of 2008, Elliot Spitzer was in the national news headlines. This governor of New York was caught in a wiretapping operation. He had spent $100,000 in high-priced prostitutes. As a result, he was forced to resign. In March of that year, Bill O'Reilly explained the situation. He said, Spitzer wanted to destroy his political career. I know it. And how did Bill know that? Spitzer was smart, wealthy, and successful. Surely, Spitzer cannot be so unintelligent that he would not realize the consequences of his behavior. I have another explanation for that. Samson was a big man too. Turn with me to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute. And he went to her. The Gazites were told, Samson has come here, and they surrounded the place and set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying, let us wait till the morning, then we will kill him. Samson is the judge for Israel, and it's his job to protect his people and for God to use him against his enemies, the Philistines. But that's not what Samson is doing. It says that Samson is in Gaza. Gaza was a Philistine city. We don't know exactly why Samson decided to go there, but we know what he did do when he got there. It says that he saw a prostitute from the city, and then later that night, as he is getting ready to go to sleep, the men of the city are ready to surround him. Why is that? Because Samson was a great enemy to them. He had done several things to the Philistines to cause them to be angry, including killing 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. So they wanted to destroy Samson. Verse 3, but Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Samson had supernatural strength. The men of the city were ready to surround him. They're ready to kill him. What does he do? He yanks up the gate of the city. It says that he put it on his shoulders, and then he went to Hebron. Now, Hebron was about 40 miles away. So we can only imagine what these men were thinking when Samson had the strength to do this. Samson was a physically strong person. He had supernatural strength even. But this did not prevent him from falling. Verse 4. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. It says that Samson loved this woman. Her name was Delilah, and it says that she lived in the valley of Sorek. This area would have been between Israel and the land of the Philistines, so kind of in the middle. What's interesting is it says that Samson loved Delilah, but it does not say that Delilah loved Samson. And as we look further, we'll see that beyond love, she had even further feelings of disdain for him. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him, and we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." These five lords of the Philistines, they come to Delilah and they say, "Find out where his great strength lies, and we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." Now, this was a large sum of money. It would have probably been enough to last her for the rest of her life. Samson thinks that he is merely in the land of Sorek and that he is merely falling in love with Delilah. But what is actually happening is that he is stepping into a trap. Verse 6. "So Delilah said to Samson, 'Please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that no one can subdue you.'" Delilah, she comes to him and she asks, "Samson, where does your great strength lie?" Now, if you were in love with someone and they came to you and wanted to know a secret about you, whatever that is, you might share that. Maybe you think, well, this is an opportunity for us to be closer together and for you to know more about me and for me to know more about you. But what if you told a secret to someone and then they went and told everyone else? In fact, not only did they share your secret, but they utterly made it clear that their intention was to betray you. That's what Delilah does. Verse 8, Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried. So the first lie that Samson tells her, he says, "If you take 7 fresh bowstrings, then I will become weak as any other man." Now, what were these bowstrings made of? The bowstrings that they used during this time period were made of animal intestines, and when they were dried, they were very strong. And if you were bound with that, then that would be strong material. But it says that they were fresh bowstrings, so they were not strong at all. I can only imagine what Samson was thinking and feeling in this moment. Delilah is asking him, "Samson, where does your great strength lie?" And Samson says, "Well, if you take 7 fresh bowstrings, basically this material that's not strong at all, and wrap it around me, then I'm going to be as weak as any other person." So I can only imagine that he thinks that this is going to be a very fun game that he's going to play with the Philistines. It says, "But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire, so the secret of his strength was not known." How does Delilah respond to this? She is not happy. She says, "Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound." Now, many of us at this point in time are thinking, Samson probably does not need to tell her the truth, or rather, does not need to tell her where his strength lies. And he said to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become like any other man." So the second lie is definitely not where his strength lies. And the Philistines, they come upon him, and he breaks the new ropes just as easily as he broke the bowstrings before. And then Samson tells her a third lie. He says in verse 13, If you weave the seven locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Samson's first two lies draw him ever closer to his third lie, which he says, if you weave the seven locks of my hair in a pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Are we seeing what's happening here? Samson's lies draw ever closer to the truth. Isn't that how sin works for us? I have this under control. Isn't that what Satan wants? He wants us to draw ever closer to that brink where he knows that we're going to fall, and not just fall, but fall in a big way and be separated from God and be away from him, and our relationship will be broken and not be whole and complete as it was. Delilah says in verse 15, and she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies. Verse 16, and when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. Delilah says, Samson, if you love me, if you cherish me, if you really think that I'm special, then I need you to prove it. I need you, Samson. Please tell me, where does your great strength lie? I'm sure many of us are thinking at this point in time, does Samson not know what Delilah is going to do? What does she do when he told her the other three things? Well, he falls asleep, he wakes up, and then the Philistines are right there to capture him, to take him and put him into prison. Verse 17, and he told her all his heart. And he said to her, a razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak like any other man. Samson explains to her this special relationship that he has with God as a Nazarite. He says that a razor has never come upon my head. As a Nazarite, there were certain stipulations that God had. You were not to drink any wine. You're not to touch a dead body of any kind. And one of the most visible signs of your special covenant relationship with him was that you were to never cut your hair. And so Samson had always had this long hair as a symbol of this special relationship that he had with God. It would be similar to if you're married and you have a wedding ring, and that ring symbolizes that special and unique relationship that you have with your spouse before God. Samson's hair was special because it was him saying to God, I am set apart for you. But what does Samson do? He shares this most precious secret with a woman who despises him, and a woman who is in enemy territory, a woman who wants to hand him over to the Philistines. Verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up again, for he has told me all his heart. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and said, and it said his strength left him. Verse 20. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. Let's notice what Samson is thinking. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. It's a tragedy in our lives whenever God is so removed from our hearts, from our minds, from our thoughts, from our actions, from our prayers, that we don't even notice when he is not there anymore. Samson says, I will go out as at other times. But that's not what happened. Verse 21, and the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. The Philistines descend upon him. Samson says, I will go out like at other times, but it wasn't like other times because God had departed from him. The Philistines, they capture Samson. They put bronze fetters on his wrists and they gouge out his eyes. Samson was blinded to what was to the path that he was headed down, and now he is physically blinded and is being carried off to a prison in Gaza, the very place where he had just performed his greatest feat of strength. Isn't that how sin works in our lives? Satan wants us, like Samson, to be deceived. He wants us to think that this can continue and it will be okay and there really won't be any consequences. My parents don't want me to hang out with a certain person from school. But I'm going to do it anyway. What do mom and dad know? I'm going to have an affair, but it won't destroy my family. Samson thought that his time with Delilah was innocent. He thought that it wasn't going to lead to all of this. When he was in her house for the days or months or years that he spent with her, he did not imagine waking up one morning and having shackles around his hands and feet, having his eyes gouged out, and then being led away into prison. He didn't imagine all of that. But that is precisely what happened. Verse 24, or verse 25, and it says, and when their hearts were merry, they said, call Samson that he may entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between two pillars. Now this is the part of the story that we're probably most familiar with. The Philistines are celebrating. Why? Because they have captured Samson. This person that they had lived in dread of and in fear of. And now Samson is there not to make fools of them, so they think, but to entertain them. And then he has a little boy lead him by the hand, and he is between two pillars. And this is the second prayer that Samson offers to God. That's recorded in Scripture. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left on the other. And Samson said in verse 30, let me die with the Philistines. Then he bowed with all his strength and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed during his life. Samson, where does your strength lie? And what did he think? Well, it's in my hair. If you cut my hair, then I will be like any other man. But in the final moments of Samson's life, he saw things more clearly. He says, God, will you please strengthen me this one time? Samson understood in the final moments of his life that his strength did not come from his hair, but it came from God. Here's the question I want to ask you today. Where does your strength come from? Does it come from yourself, or are you getting your strength from God? If you're getting your strength from yourself, then like Samson, we're just going to be deceived, and we're going to, in the end, really wish that we would have seen from the very beginning where our strength comes from, and that is from God. If you know that you haven't been putting your strength in God and you want to do that today, if you want to confess any sin or weakness that's been weighing you down, or if you need to put Christ on in baptism, then we want you to do that as we stand and as we sing.